We're turning to John chapter 8, verse 12, and we're going to preach today in one of the I Ams of the Lord Jesus, where he said, I am the light of the world. Now, there are seven of them in the Gospels, and they are great statements by the Lord Jesus. I am the light of the world. Could you imagine what would happen if the sun did not shine for a 24-hour period? Can you think of the darkness and the coldness and the panic that that would create in the earth if the sun just stopped shining for one day? What if the sun ceased to shine for a year? Well, we would be in absolute Arctic conditions. There would be no life, and we would be plunged into a complete catastrophe and darkness. We would have to say that it would be like hell, where darkness is forevermore. Now, we know how valuable light is to plant life. They can't exist without light, even though they have heat, even though they have nutrition, they may have water, but without light, they cannot grow and mature as they should. And of course, plants always want to grow toward the light. That's why your auntie always wanted to turn the pot every time she viewed the flower, because plants want to grow toward the light. It is their attraction. And you can tell your garden, which is facing north and south, by how plants grow and how even the moss will grow. In those shady areas, things get dark. And every Boy Scout knows that if you're in the forest, how to check for the direction of north. You hug the tree, and wherever the moss is, that's north. That's north, because it grows as a fungus on the tree. But if it's in the light, well, that won't happen. Now, this figure of speech adopted by the Lord Jesus, where he said, I am the light of the world, what he's really saying is here, he is the source of all spiritual life. There is no spiritual, heavenly life in a man, woman's soul if they do not know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, I want you to note the time at which the Lord Jesus spoke these words. We need to link up verse 12 with verse 2. It says in John 8, verse 2, early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of windows were in the temple, but it would have had windows, and the rising sun would have been shining in through the windows into the temple. And at that hour, you can see how the Lord was linking up with that new day light shining into the temple where they were meeting. And then he announces, I am the light of the world. And so the sun rose and shone into the temple, and the Lord made use of that scene to teach about his own mission into the world. Now, let me clear away all the notions of universalism, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You'll notice that he did not say, I am the light of the Jews. Didn't say that. I am come just to be a light to the Jews, but to the world. And of course, that includes Gentiles. That includes every people in the world. And note that the word world, even that is qualified. Because the Lord Jesus is not the redeemer of every man in the world. He said, he that followeth me. And sadly, in that temple, there were multitudes of Jews who would not believe on the Lord Jesus. They quizzed him, they opposed him, and many of them later cried out, crucify him. But thankfully, we read down at the end of our reading that there were many who did believe on him. And so this message of the Lord was effective to the hearts of some. And that's very often how the Lord works. When the gospel is preached, some believe and some doubt. Some are born again and some are hardened. Some are ready for heaven and some are twice the children of hell. Why? Because they do not accept that the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. Now, this world then is ever divided into the children of light and the children of darkness. The children of light, of course, are followers of the Lord Jesus. I hope that's you today. I hope you can say, I am in the light. I am in fellowship with the Lord Jesus because I have turned to the one who is the light and the Savior of the world. So what we can say here today by this from this text is that Jesus was on a mission to bring light to the souls of men. And I want to take up that theme of the mission. The Lord Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, to bring men out of spiritual darkness that they might walk in the light. What a wonderful, wonderful mission it is. And today, in the 21st century, the Lord is still turning those in darkness because they live without God, they live without the truth, they live without any thought of God, and then the gospel is preached to them. They hear of Christ, the Savior, the Son of God, and the light shines into their hearts. A miracle takes place, a spiritual miracle. And they now become children of light to walk in the light. That's the gospel we believe in today. That's the gospel that's going to change the world. That's the gospel that's going to deliver people from the broad road to destruction into that way that leads to eternal life. And I hope that there's a mission, a message for you here today in this. Firstly, in this mission of light, the Lord is the only giver of light. And I deliberately held back this one from in my introduction. I wanted to major on this point. Just as there was only one sun creating the light shining through the windows into the temple, just one sun out there, there is only one Son of God, S-O-N. There is only one whom God has sent into the world to be the light of the world. And he is the only person identified here. Now, I thought about Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. And you can pronounce that various ways and emphasize on different aspects of it, where the Lord says, I am the light of the world. And then it gets more emphatic or dogmatic than that. He says, I am the light of the world. And if that got through to the hearts of men and women that day, what a dramatic statement it was. Now, he's not just the light of the world, but he's sent by the Father. And if you look at verse 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now, this is in response to all the questions. Who are you? How can you say who you are? How can you make this claim? How can you claim to be the light of the world? How can you say that you personally are the light of the world in somewhat parallel fashion to the only sun that shines down upon the face of the earth? How can you say that? My Father hath sent me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that with all your heart today, that the Father hath sent his own Son into the darkness, the sin of this world, to enlighten, to bring them to the knowledge of the living God? Now, this is true in creation. And I want you to come back to John chapter 1. Let's make use of our Bibles here. John chapter 1. The world was not created without the Lord Jesus. Now, we know that all three persons in the Trinity were involved. God the Father spoke. God the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. And here in John 1:1, we are told that nothing was made without Christ that was made. And the Lord Jesus was absolutely, totally involved in the creation of the world. Now, after making all those statements, you look at verse 4. In him was life, And the life was the light of men. Do you see the connection? Just as God spoke light into the world, God sent his Son to become the life and the light of the world. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Many doubt. Many did not receive the Lord. Many would not believe on him. They continued in darkness. Thankfully, others did believe and began to walk in the light and become followers of the Lord Jesus. And now we come in verse 6 to the ministry of John the Baptist. Here is a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That's the Lord Jesus. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, not John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Can you see how the Lord Jesus is the only light of the world? Just as the sun in the sky is the only sun that heats and lights this earth, the parallel is certainly poignant here. In that, there's only one gospel. There's only one covenant of grace. There's only one plan of redemption. God is not double-minded. He doesn't have one way to save people and then reverse that and have another way. There's only one way to the Father. And here's another I am of Jesus' statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I want to stick to my guns here, theologically that is, with the truth that there is only one plan of redemption. Could you imagine the confusion and indeed the immorality if God could have saved sinners any other way? You can imagine that there were three or four possibilities on the table and God chose the one that required his own Son to leave heaven, suffer, die, and be raised again, while there was other ways by which God could have saved his people. That, I'm going to be gentle here, say, borders on blasphemy. That God would require the death of his Son needlessly, unnecessarily. No, we would say there was no other way. God needed a divine person to take the place of sin, the sinner's sin, when the offense was against a divine person. That's theology. And in the gospel, it's theology 101. The blood of animals could not wash away sin. The blood of the sons of Adam could not wash away sin. It took the blood of the Son of God fused into human nature, that it would have the infinite value and vitality to redeem the souls of men from the curse of sin. And that's why there's only one Savior. That's why Christianity stands alone in the world as the message of God to a sinful world. And that's why Jesus could announce this statement, I am the light of the world. And by that, we learn there is one way to heaven, one way to the Father. Do you believe? Have you come to the light? And are you now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ alone? If you want to be a polytheist, if you want to have many gods, many ways to heaven, you're not a Christian. That's what our Lord Jesus teaches. One way to the Father. God hath appointed one Son in the sky. He has given only one Son to be the Savior and Redeemer of men. Now I move on to the next point here. The Lord's mission of light is to give the graces of spiritual life. Did you notice in John 1 we read there that life and light, they sort of are synonymous, they work together. He is the life of man and the light of men. And so when this life, this light of the Lord comes into your life, you have new life, just like the plant. What is it that gives the plant life? Light. And what is it that dispels the darkness, the devil, and the powers of the devil's kingdom out of your heart? It is the light of the Lord Jesus coming into your soul. And that's what gives us the power to repent. It's the gift of faith and repentance. We learned over and over again that Christianity is not just a mere set of rules and precepts, and you check the boxes and say, I'm in. No, it calls you to repent of sin, of spiritual darkness, and to turn to the light, and to walk in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus. And so the Christian life is one of renouncing darkness, because the light has now shone into your darkness. You can't walk in darkness anymore. By this light, sin is revealed in all its ugliness. You ask the man on the street, do you hate your sin? What are you talking about? Can't even understand. You ask a godly Christian who reads his Bible and prays every day and knows God's word, do you hate your sin? He says, I do, and I hate it more and more as I grow in light and knowledge and grace. The mark of the new birth is that you turn from the darkness and you walk in the light, the fellowship of the Lord Jesus. You think of the power of light. My garage has no windows in it. If you go from the kitchen area into the garage and don't turn on a light, can't see a thing. Now, there's a bit of light that comes through the cracks of the door, but till your eyes adjust, you can't see a thing. It's dark, pitch dark. But the moment you put up the garage door, well, the light comes in, the darkness is gone. And that's what happens in the believer's life. When the light comes in, the darkness can't remain. The two cannot coexist. It's impossible for darkness to remain where the light comes in. And of course, that shines the beauty of the Lord in your life, the light shining in. Did you ever notice in a jewelry store, if you're walking down a mall and you'll see the jewelry store, the shoe store, it's kind of dim. Go to a jewelry store and the light is just flooding in. And that's because they want those jewels, they want those rings and diamonds all to be shining in all their magnificence. It's the light that brings out the beauty in the stone, makes them attractive. What is it that makes you a Christian with a clear testimony for God? It's the light of the Lord in your life. If you're walking in darkness, in the dimness, confusion, the beauty's lost. But when you're living in the light of the Lord, then that light makes you to shine in a lost world. The Lord gives believers also desires for more light. That's how plants grow. They want more light. That's why they keep turning. They want to work toward the light. And for gardeners, the sunshine can never be too long. There can never be too much light. In fact, in various situations, hydroponics and greenhouses, they'll have light 24/7 to give it more light. And the more light you give the plant, the more growth you have. It's the same in the Christian life. The truly born-again Christian whose the light has come into their souls, they want more light. They desire, they pray, they actually get on their knees and ask God, Lord, don't let me walk in darkness. Give me more light. Which means more understanding, a greater grasp of the Bible, and a greater knowledge of the truth. And this now is the process of sanctification. I'm being changed by the power of the light, that I'm not walking in darkness anymore. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Hey, we're not done yet. The Lord is still changing us. And when we're glorified in heaven, we will be perfectly changed. Now, the next verse in that proverb says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And as often the Proverbs contrast the two. The believer walks in the light, and the light shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the unbeliever, the wicked, walk in darkness and stumble. If you're not a Christian today, you're stumbling in this world, tripping up on everything, and you do not have the assurance of the light of the Lord. Another great verse that we learned in 2 Peter, and it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." Good for Peter. I'll praise him for putting that right in there in that little epistle. Peter knew what it was to call Christians to enjoy light, spiritual light. And where do we get that light? He says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God." And the more we are in the light, the more we love this word, and the more light God gives upon the book as we read it. So the Lord is enlightening us, and he is revealing truth to us, but he's also conforming us into the image of his Son. Light has a conforming power. I want to give you a verse, and I want you to turn to it, because I know what it's like to sit in a service and you go home and say, "What was that verse? What was that quote the preacher gave?" And I can't even remember where it was. It was so right, but I can't remember it. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And I want you to write all over this text, sanctification. That's what this is about. Being changed into the beauty of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass." Now, the margin will read on that glass comment, a mirror. A looking glass is a mirror. "And we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The Holy Spirit's ministry is to give light. The Holy Spirit is never the author of darkness or confusion. He is the Spirit of truth. And he therefore leads us into the knowledge and the light of the Lord Jesus. And that is how he changes us. He changes us from being sinful wretches under the grip of lust and pleasure, to give us the spirit of repentance to turn from that, but also, that's the negative part, turning away from sin, repenting, rejecting the darkness. But that's just to create a vacuum. There has to be the changing into the glory, into the light of the Lord Jesus himself. And just as you can tell in the garden which way faces north, you can tell a Christian who's walking in the light of the Lord. They're changed. They're really changed. There's a moral change. There's a character change. There's a change in their walk. And there's a change in their talk. Because that's sanctification. That's the power of the Lord to make us new creatures to walk in the light. In the olden days, I'm not sure when that was, before I was born, the olden days, people used to bleach things by leaving them in the sun. They would take out sometimes even sheets and blankets and things that needed to be what we would call disinfected, but somehow freshened up, it might have been said. And you just hang it in the sun and let the sun do its work. If you look on your rooftop, you'll probably have a lot of moss and green stuff on the north side where there's no problem on the south side or the part that faces south. Why? The sun does its work. It purifies. It's like a disinfectant. And when you have the living light of the Lord Jesus shining into your heart and soul, you're purified. It happens. It's true. It's real. And it's not about going to church and learning rules and regulations and signing off or signing on to things. It's a matter of just walking in the light and in the love of the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing. This is the Lord's mission in your soul. And if it's not happening, can you call yourself a Christian? Can you say you're really going to heaven? If you're enjoying sin more and more and not turning from it? Or if you're not striving to live in fellowship with the Lord and enjoying fellowship with the Lord? That's the crossroads. And maybe you're at that crossroads today. Maybe you've got a decision to make. Maybe for too long you've been standing on the circumference and saying, well, I'm just an observing kind of person. I want to see how this goes. But you've never personally come into the light and asked the Lord to be your Savior. Ask the Lord to take away your sin, the darkness, and to translate you from a child of darkness in the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That has to happen to be saved. And if you have never come to that, I bid you come now. Come in this meeting. Believe today. The Lord will save you. Point number three. Every preacher has 3 points most of the time. So point number three, we're getting to the close here. The Lord's mission of light is to call a people to walk in the light. We're back to verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now notice how the Lord calls his people to follow him. We're to follow him. Believers on the Lord Jesus are followers of the Lord Jesus. And this is the Lord's church. A people who separate themselves from the darkness of the world to let the light shine into their hearts. And believers are to be known as children of light, children of the day. And we are called to let that light shine before the world. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, the Lord Jesus says, let your light so shine before men. Don't put your light under a bushel. Put it on the hilltop. Let it shine. Let your light shine. And so the Lord's mission of light is to call us to walk in that light and let it shine. And as the Son, the Lord Jesus, obeyed the Father and left the glory of heaven to come into this darkened world to let his light shine and bring truth and righteousness and one day fellowship with God. That's our mission. We're evangelists now. We're missionaries now. The Lord has brought light into our souls. Now we are to let that light shine before the world. And the more we enjoy that light and walk in that light, the better witnesses we will be. Others will take note that we have been with Jesus. Now, I read an allegory of the cave and the sun. You know what an allegory is? It's one of those kind of ongoing parallel stories. And I don't have all the information to go on, but the gist of it is this, that the... Let me get this right now. The cave was invited to witness the light. The cave, of course, is down deep in the earth. It's dark. It's dreary down in there. And so the cave was invited to come and visit the light. And, of course, you can come out of the cave, out of that darkness, into the light. And then the sun invited... The sun was invited. Allegories are tricky things. The sun was invited to come into the cave to witness the darkness. And of course, the sun came in, but there was no darkness. Why? Because the light always dispels the darkness. It's like my garage door going up. As soon as the door goes up, the light comes in. There's no darkness. Gone. This is the wonderful thing about the gospel that we preach. It has a powerful impact. And in homes where there's sin abounding, depravity and wretchedness and misery, the best thing that can happen in that home is for a Christian either to be newly converted or come and live in that home. It's the best thing can ever happen. And I've said it over and over the years, the best thing that can ever happen for a sinner is to meet a living Christian. The light, the witness of the Lord is powerful. And we're called to let that light shine and let that light flood all around us. Every one of us are to dispel the darkness that is in this world and all around us. The worst thing that can happen to the people of God is to fall into darkness ourselves. The Lord said this, "If the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness?" That is someone who ends up with a false profession, emptiness, and shallowness, and they would become a false church. Now, my conclusion is this, four to-dos, a little to-do list. A sermon is nothing if it doesn't have something to do in response to what we learn. Firstly, make the Lord's mission to be your mission. The Lord came into this world on a mission of light to dispel the darkness. Your life will really count if you dispel the darkness, the sin, the ignorance, the ungodliness that is around us. Secondly, be children of light. That's your testimony. That's what the Lord commands. We're to be children of light, not of the darkness. And so let your light shine before men. Thirdly, let this church fulfill its mandate of shining forth the light. This body of church ministry. Why has God put us here? Why do we come together to worship? Why do we preach the gospel? Our prayer ought to be, our burden ought to be, Lord, would you make this a ministry of light to souls that sit in darkness? You can help in this by bringing people in. There's those that you know that you can perhaps invite along and bring along to the meetings and pray that God will shine the light of the gospel into their hearts. We can do that. And then lastly, live in the full enjoyment of the light of Christ, to know the power in your own life. We're not speaking here about mere duty. We're talking about privilege. We're talking about the joy of real fellowship with the Lord. The torch is being passed on to us. Christ has shone the light, and down through the ages, this gospel has come to us. We have the great opportunity today to let the light shine by being followers of the one who is the light of the world. May this word stir our hearts, revive us, give us a new sense of the urgency of what we're about. Drive us to prayer. Give us a missionary spirit. Let's pray for our families that our children will walk in the light, not follow the darkness of this world. And if you're not saved today, if you're not a Christian, I bid you to follow the Lord. He will not walk, he will not lead you astray. He will lead you into more and more light as you follow him. What a blessing.